Cosplay, and welcome to episode 13 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Mwah-hah. Nothing bad's going to happen.
No, nothing bad's going to happen. Evil.
But yes, this is episode 13, and we have a pretty good episode for you today. Not that we don't always, but...
We have. What the heck? We have good stuff.
We do have good stuff.
We work hard for good stuff.
And we do it well.
Yes.
Even the bad jokes and the best as well, too. Well, I do.
You do those well. I don't do those. I suck at puns, and I admit to that.
But, yay, I has new webcam.
Hey, it is awesome.
Better video, at least on my end, so.
I got a new headset.
That is true. You do have a new headset.
It sounds flipped.
So, yes, keep upgrading for your entertainment enjoyment, listeners, as we get the funds to purchase new equipment.
As our paychecks get smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Films have been patronizing Joanne's quite heavily in recent weeks.
Oh man, I know I've dropped at least 150 in the last 2 weeks. But it's probably 5 different costumes, so it makes sense in the long run, I swear.
I never said it wasn't for a good cause.
It was for a good cause.
It is related to the podcast. It is for...
Yes, okay. All the stuff is going to be, I'm going to be recording it for the podcast and then for upcoming panel, mixture, everything in between.
But we do have 2 tutorials for you today.
Yep.
I believe one on duct tape wig heads.
Yes.
And one.
And then your sections.
Yep.
Which I've only seen a couple of seconds of it, but I was like, I already learned more than I knew already. This is cool.
Yes, experimenting with the low light filming feature on my camera, so we'll see how that turns out. But we also have an interview.
Yay!
All right. We've actually had listener requests for more interviews, so you asked. We will bequeath unto what you ask for.
She's using fancy words.
Yes, this is also an educated guess.
Brought to you by the letter B.
C. Yes.
But yeah, we are working on many more interviews. We did one just a couple of ago that will be in this episode. We got another one next week and hopefully another one
the week after that.
Yes. Yeah, we're piling them on.
Unfortunately, cosplayers are very, very busy people, as we well know. So sometimes it's really hard to get a hold of people for one and to be able to fit in with their schedules because our schedules aren't all the same.
Yeah, the fact that we were able to get so many so though, it's kind of like, whoa, cool.
Yeah. Of course, it also makes for a very interesting and somewhat chaotic weekend.
Yes. We have no lives.
Of course, we're on downtime.
Mm-hmm.
Conventions, at least for a couple of more months. So I'm going to try and pack in what we can while our schedules are somewhat flexible. And then we hit convention season again.
Yay! For another big con! Whee!
Yep, and then we'll be doing our news on site instead of on Skype.
Exactly. So I guess that pretty much wraps it up for now. Let's go ahead and start with the tutorials.
Yep! Onward!
And upward! I've had a couple of people request this, so I'm going to show you all how to make a duct tape mannequin head. As you get more involved in cosplay, you'll start tackling some really crazy hairstyles. And one of the best ways to style them is to get your own mannequin head and go from there. But you'll notice that a lot of mannequin heads, including the male styrofoam ones, are a lot smaller than our normal heads. So you need to pad them to fit your skull. The primary reason for this is to prevent shrinking of the wig while styling. Anyone who's had to heavily style or stub a wig can tell you that wigs start to shrink when you gather the fibers together, and in turn it tightens the wig on the mannequin head. Now if you use the mannequin head without it being altered and then try sticking it on your head after you've done styling, you're going to find out that it has shrunk and it probably won't fit you. The materials you're going to need are a foam wig head, which can be purchased at most craft or hair supply stores, duct tape, scissors for the duct tape ripper challenge, measuring tape, Sharpie to write down your measurements, and use some scrap fabric. There are a couple different ways that you can do your mannequin heads and pad them. This is personally my favorite method because I'm able to reuse a lot of materials I already have lying around, and it's less cost for me. The first step is to measure your own head. Now, if you have long hair or you're growing it out or you know you're not going to be chopping off your hair for a long time, you want to put it up as you usually would for your wigs. For me, this actually adds another 2 inches to my head, and it does make a difference when measuring out the padding that I'm going to be doing for the foam. Taking the tape measure, you want to measure the circumference of your head around the widest part of your forehead. Next, measure the length of your head from ear to ear. And finally, you want to measure from the top of your brow to the very back of your head. And this is going to be about where your back hairline is along the neck. Now you want to measure your dummy head. You're going to take those same measurements. You're going to do the circumference, the length from ear to ear, and then the length from the approximate area where the brow is going to be to the back of the head. You do this so you can have a general idea of how much you need to build up on the head itself. Now we're at the point where we're going to start layering the tape and the fabric. You can use any fabric for this. I personally just have a bunch of cotton from leftover projects, so that's what I'm going to be using. It doesn't have to be anything special or fancy. It's just whatever fabric you have available. What I like to do is fold and roll my fabric so it's almost like a long rectangle. Lay it down on the dummy head, and then just start duct taping it into place. Now for me, in my case, because of the bulk of the weight and lumpiness of my head is going to be where I put up my hair, I'm actually going to be putting more fabric pieces towards the back of the head, approximately where my hair would be in comparison to the rest. So it's just something else you want to keep in mind is how your hair sits on your head is going to affect the way the wig moves and the way the wig's going to sit on you. And really that's all there is to it, is just to keep adding and folding more fabric and duct taping it into place. You want to measure the head out every now and then to make sure that you're either getting really close to the size or, you know, hey, I need to add a little bit more over here, or even if you need to take some of it off. That's why you only use just a couple pieces of duct tape instead of going duct tape crazy all over it. It's easier to remove this way. So, of course, I'm going to speed up this section because it's really boring watching me duct tape a mannequin head. But I'm going to throw in a couple more tips while we're doing this. If you're looking to make a mask a la Sub-Zero, Scorpion, or Reptile from Mortal Kombat, or an enclosed helmet, you should look into doing a full duct tape head. This will require you to take a couple more measurements, which are listed on the screen. But the benefit to doing this is it'll make your helmet or mask that much more comfortable to wear. Especially if you have it on for like 6+ hours at a time, you really have to be sensible about the comfort level. When it comes to dusting and cleaning your duct tape head, you want to dust it every few weeks just like you would a wig if you have a wig out in the open. Wig heads and these styrofoam heads can collect dust. All you really need to do is just get a damp cloth or a damp paper towel and wipe it down. That simple. Now you can use packing tape or even masking tape if you want to. I personally find that those actually don't give quite as good results as duct tape. The reason being is duct tape is a woven adhesive, so there's actually fibers in duct tape that make it much more malleable, it's easier to bend, it's a lot more pliable. It's also great when it comes to pinning your wig into the styrofoam head. When you use the straight pins and you pull them out, you're less likely to get a bunch of gunk and adhesive because you're pinning it between the fibers of the duct tape. Whereas if you use a straight pin in masking tape or packing tape and you pull it out, it's going to have a lot of gunk in it. And you don't want that gunk to get all over your wig because then that's just nasty and really difficult to get out. So in regards to pinning your wig to this duct tape head, you don't want to jam the pins in because you'll most likely, when you jam them in end up twisting them and getting more of the duct tape gunk on the pins, and that could end up on your wig. You just want to push them in gently. It doesn't require a lot of force or a lot of effort. It would be just as if you're pinning two pieces of fabric together. It's really simple. It doesn't require a whole lot of extra force. There's also a really great durability factor when it comes to covering the head in duct tape. It's less likely to fall apart. You can bang it against the wall, close the door on it, throw it around the room. Styrofoam's not going to fall off because it's all surrounded by duct tape. I've personally have had one that I made about a year and a half ago that still looks just like the day that I bought it, minus the fact that it's completely covered in silver duct tape. The only reason now why I'm making a new one is because that foam head is currently being acted as storage for a wig of mine that has giant horns on it. So really, if it weren't for that one wig, I would still be using that original mannequin head, and I could probably use it for a couple more years, no problem. When it comes to finishing, you want to add at least one last layer of duct tape. This is to try to smooth out the uneven surfaces, cover up any of those weird little sticky areas that might still be out, as well as little random fabric pieces, because you don't want those to accidentally get caught in your wig while you're styling them. And then, of course, you want to measure everything out to ensure that you have the right circumference, the right distance, the right length. Feel free to decorate as necessary. I do not, because that would be kind of creepy, having my wig stare at me in the middle of the night with cute faces. But if that's what you want to do, go for it. And as I said at the beginning of this tutorial, there are several different ways of creating a duct tape dummy head, wig head, however you wish to call it. But for me, I feel like this is one of the best ways. I use a lot less duct tape. I use a lot less materials. I'm just pulling out scraps of fabric that I know I won't be using for other costumes. Like, they're small enough that I can't really use them for a costume, but large enough that I feel bad to throw them away. So I'm recycling old materials. It's cheap, it's efficient, it's effective, and it lasts a really long time. So I hope that you all find this useful.
Hi guys, Amber here, and I have had a request for a tutorial this week on how to build section staffs, kind of like the one I have for my Athena costume. So I do ask in advance that you ignore the mess that is my crafting table, because I have been working hard on making blocks, which are, well, something I'm not covering today, but safe to say it will help me make my cosplay better. But what I've done is I've got a pair of dowel sticks in my hand, and these are to represent the two parts of the staff. Usually you'll make a staff in halves. I mean, you can always break it into thirds or quarters if you really want to. But if you figure a staff is somewhere between 5 and 7 feet high, halves are probably good enough. So usually you'll have two sticks. If you get dowels, you can get them up to 36 inches long. You can also do this with PVC pipe. The staff that I made actually does happen to be made out of dowels, so that's what I'm using. And you'll also have a piece of PVC pipe, which is called a joiner, or a joint. And this is just a rolled up sheet of paper I'm using to represent a PVC joint. You'll probably want to get this somewhere around at least 6 inches long. You can get them at Home Depot and the like, Lowe's, Ace Hardware. You can get them, I believe, up to 2 feet long. As I'm looking back, I believe the one on my Athena staff is 2 feet long. And what you want to do, she'll take the joint. This is, of course, not the other kind of joint, but just something that joins two halves. And if you can see here, I have marked the halfway point of the joint so that I know how much will go on each half of the staff. You'll want to measure this amount. Whoops. With a ruler, take this, and you'll want to measure. See, this is about 2 inches. Of course, I'm doing this to scale. So once you've done that, you'll know that 2 inches is half of the joint. So you'll take your half and you'll measure out 2 inches. You'll want to either make a little pencil mark here, or what I did is to actually take a round of masking tape and I just made a little loop around it so that I know how far the joint is going to go down the staff. So in this case, I have my masking tape. I will take off a piece
Finding the end of tape is hard, incidentally. Sometimes it's best if you take a highlighter or a permanent marker and put a mark on the end of your roll of tape so that you can easily find it again whenever you need it. So just like that, put it around the edge, cut it short, like so. And so I know how far down the joint needs to go on my staff. What you will then do, once you've marked both halves, the joint only goes on one half of the staff. It doesn't actually get attached to both halves, and you'll see why here in just a moment. But you'll take the exposed part of your staff, and you will slather some sort of adhesive on here. You will probably want to use something at least as strong as wood glue, if not something stronger like contact cement, E6000, or Gorilla Glue. The reason for this is that you don't want your joint to suddenly slip off in the middle of a convention. Normally, when I do any sort of joined weapon, I will put the joint on the bottom half. So once you've got the glue all over this part, don't go past your mark, don't go past your tape, because this is as far as you want the joint to go. And you will put that on there like that, just until it meets the tape. And then you'll let this dry so that you can test it and the joint isn't going to come off. Usually that takes 24 hours, just make sure you check the instructions on your adhesive. So now you have a half of a staff with a joint on top. Sorry, that is a little bit bright. So you have this. And then, this is the reason I put it on the bottom and not on the top, is because I can just slip the top of the staff into it, like that. And it will stop right at the halfway point that you marked, because it's going to stop where it meets the bottom of this that's already glued in there. So gravity will actually hold it down in there, so that I don't have to do anything. I don't even have to use any sort of adhesive on the upper half, because gravity does that for me. And then when you're at the convention, you just make sure you hold on to it right there at the joint at the top, so that the top doesn't suddenly slip out and you don't fling it like a trombone slide. Which I actually have done in music school, incidentally. It's a lot of fun, and it can be very dangerous. But that is how you split a staff using a joint. There is a second way to do it, which is a little bit more complicated. I'm going to set these over here, right now. And that is the screwing method. And of course, I mean that in the good way and not in the bad way. But I have these two little rolled pieces of paper representing the two halves of the staff, which would be at the very ends. And I could slide these onto there if you really want to have like the rest of the staff showing, but this is for demonstration purposes only. What you will want to get is a pair of nuts. This kind of nut, the little hexagonal nuts. You want to get two of them that match, and then you'll want to get one bolt that fits into those nuts. And of course, this is a screw, but this is just for demonstration purposes. Unfortunately, I don't have a bolt on hand that's the correct size, but this will work. So you have two nuts, one bolt. Make your own joke. What you'll do with the two halves, this is usually done, incidentally, with PVC, because if you use dowels, what you're going to have to do with the dowel is to measure the diameter of the nut going across. And you're going to have to drill a hole inside the end of your dowel that fits the diameter of the nut so that the nut will slide just into the hole. You want it to barely fit. You don't want it to be too wide, because otherwise the bolt is the nut's going to go sliding everywhere. So you drill a hole that's just the size of the diameter of the nut. So of course that would require a drill and a little bit of time, and please, please, please be very careful when you do this. I've actually done it one time where I drilled this straight up and down without any support, without any frame. I just took the drill and drilled it straight down with my hand hanging on to it. And I was very glad that Murphy did not visit me that day and I did not in fact drill a hole into my hand. But that's what you would do. You would drill it probably, oh, I would say about an inch in depth, depending on how long your bolt is. You'll see why here in just a second. It's a lot easier to use PVC pipe. That's just the size, as you can see, I've actually already placed one of the nuts inside. But that's why you drill the hole this size. So once you have your hole, you will take glue and you will put it all along the sides You'll put it all along the outside of the nut. You want the adhesive on the outside, because then you're effectively going to take a pair of tweezers. Tweezers. So that you can hold on to it. And you're going to take all the adhesive right here on the outside. You're going to slip it right into that hole. And then you're going to let it dry, because you do not want that nut to move. That's what you do to one half of it, is just the nut. And you want to make sure that that doesn't move around inside. As you can see, this wiggles just a little bit. The other side of this, what you're going to do is take your bolt, put some adhesive around the bolt. Usually you'll use a product called Loctite, which basically makes it so that once you screw the bolt into its setting, it does not move. It cannot come undone. So you will basically make a permanent bond between the other nut and your bolt so that it looks something like this all together. You have that kind of a together piece. And then you're going to repeat the exact same process that you did with the other one. You're going to take adhesive, put it all around the sides of the nut. You're going to have your other hole already pre-drilled. You're going to take it. Of course, you can hang on to the bolt on this one. You don't need tweezers for this one. You can just hold on to the end of the bolt. And you would put that right in your pre-drilled hole. This is why you have to drill the hole a little bit deeper, so you have to account for the size of the top of the bolt, so that it would fit snugly right in there, like that. And then you have the end of a bolt sticking out that hopefully will not move because you have stuck adhesive onto it, unlike me. Of course, the screw is the wrong size, but that's okay. So then you have one end of your staff that looks like this, and one end of your staff that looks like this. And then you would screw them together like this. And then you get a staff. Well, one that theoretically looks better than the one I have in my hands. And then when you want to unsection it, you just unscrew it. And that's it. And that's how you have a section staff part two. Hopefully this has proven helpful to you. I have not actually been able to do the second way yet, because that would involve me actually taking apart what I've already done with my staff. The staff that I used the joint method, because that was easiest for me. But in the future, when I make these sort of things, I will be using the screw method instead of the slide method. Because unfortunately, when you have a joint with a PVC pipe, the one big disadvantage to this method is that the joint makes a very, very obvious join. PVC pipe tends to be fairly thick, so you will have a very distinctly thicker part of your staff than the rest of it, so you will see that those are joined. That's the one major advantage to doing it with the screw method, is that when these two pieces are screwed together, you can barely see just the seam where the two pieces are touching. So, of course, that's the one big advantage to this method. So, you know, pick your poison, as it were. And that is how you make a section staff.
Welcome to our next interview segment. This is with Marika-san, aka Maria. Say hi.
Hi.
She is one of Tex's elite cosplayers, at least that's what I think. Recently has, at least this year, has competed in the World Cosplay Summit finales for the United States. Didn't quite make it all the way, but she had such an awesome Claymore costume that makes me jealous beyond all belief. Has one of the biggest workshops that I have ever seen, and I want it, or I'm willing to rent it out. And a very extensive and diverse collection of cosplays. So we're very grateful and thankful that you wanted to take the time to let us interview you. Yay!
Of course. I'm glad to. When you guys asked me, I was like, oh, yes! I was really happy.
My first question I want to ask you is, you have such a huge array of costumes, but I really love your armor. How the heck did you convince yourself to start going into armor making?
Well, I would see these really amazing armor cosplays, and I was like, I think I want to try that. You know, they could do it. I can too. And then we decided that we were going to try out for the World Cosplay Summit. And when we found out that we were going, we're like, okay, we have 2.5 months And we're going to make two armors, and now what? So we kind of, like, figured out in the process, and that was the hardest, like, trying to figure out the materials and how to work with them and how to draft those patterns, because it's completely different. And now I can make armor a lot faster, but I just love the working with that, those kind of things, and bringing to life having more options of characters I can cosplay. Since I don't go the less route, I like to go more, you know, have more on than less. So that was a good option for me.
Now, when it comes to materials, what kind of things do you like to use when it comes to the armor?
For armor, I like working vacuum forming with styrene, and also expanded PVC foam sheets. They're really easy to form, but it's hard to get two-dimensional shapes on Sintra, which is the brand name for expanded PVC. Mm-hmm. But for me, I am really comfortable making molds and vacuum forming, because it comes out exactly how you want it. And something I am going to try in the next year and a half is going to be making molds and casting. Like, you make your original mold, and then you make your other one, and then you cast. One of the things that I found from vacuum forming is sometimes you don't get the perfect shape, especially with the thicker plastics, because if you don't heat evenly, it kind of will create imperfections in the surfaces. And for what the Claymore armor I'm making, the paint it's going to take, it's going to show any kind of bumps or anything. So that was something that's a little hiccup, but other than that, I really like vacuum forming.
Let's say, are you fancy enough that you actually have your own vacuum form, or have you done a makeshift vacuum form system?
Makeshift? I'm good at those.
There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
I just kind of threw stuff together, but I've been meaning to build a good one with, like, a tank with a vacuum system instead of actually using a vacuum. So that's on my to-do list for after Expo. It was supposed to be before Expo, but I decided to make all these new cosplays, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, now that you said that, you're going to have to put a tutorial on your DAF. This is how I made my vacuum form. And why you shouldn't do it, because it's really dangerous.
It's not dangerous, but for, like, very detailed, it won't work.
So it's good for, like, general shapes, but if you're looking for, like, little crevices or, like, emblems or something, not a good idea?
Mommy! Yes. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You want to come here?
We have another guest on CosPod. This is a future cosplayer.
Yes, yes, hopefully so.
On a daily basis, he's like, have you made my green Sharon outfit? He's like, I want to be Sharon today. I was like, do you want to be baby Inuyasha? He's like, no, just Sharon.
One of us.
But only Sharon.
Of course.
And I was like, can I be your mom? Because we were watching one of the Cardcaptor Sakura movies. He's like, no, you're Sakura. I was like, aww.
Well, speaking of kids, how do you balance cosplay and family?
Well, usually I don't work till he start working on cosplays until he goes to sleep. So that really kind of limits me, hence the bags. But usually, if I'm working while he's awake, I'll have him in here. And I'll have him coloring or doing little projects. Or if I have a scrap of fabric, I'm like, can you make this for me? He makes the cutest little things. So, and when I go off to conventions, my family's really supportive and they help me with him. So, because he's too antisocial to take to conventions. He's the kind of kid that doesn't react well with a lot of people. So I'm really lucky.
That's good that you have family that kind of helps you out and supports you. And you're raising him to be like one of us, so that's good.
I know. And then my mom's like, well, I guess it's better that you guys are doing that than other things. There's worse things in life. So.
Exactly. And we're probably dumping more money into this than into other bad habits.
I was going to say, as far as making those things go, I think you have something called GS Props.
Yes.
Who are they and what do they do?
GS Props is my brother and I. We kind of came together, and he jumped on the Claymore project and started helping us out with that. And afterwards, he's like, I really like doing this. He's like, but I don't like dressing up, so and I don't like making armor. So I'll make the guns and the weapons, and you'll make the armors, and maybe I'll take commissions. So now, right now he's like, yeah, I think I'll take commissions. I'm like, go for it. It's all you. I don't want to hear about it. So that's how it started. It's kind of funny because people are assuming we've been doing this for... stuff at me. And we've been doing this for a long time. Like, oh, you're so great. Can you take me as an intern? I was like, oh, we're still interns ourselves. We don't know what we're doing half the time. So that's very interesting, and it's kind of cool.
I'd say your Mass Effect armor, even though I didn't get a chance to see it in person, it really was impressive on film camera. I mean, and the guns themselves, I was like, I want one of those.
I did. I saw it up close and personal.
Yeah, you did.
That was funny.
And it was really cool.
Like, who is this red woman talking to me?
Yes, well, I have problems with names and faces.
Continuing on with the Mass Effect armor, when you guys were creating those pieces, did you keep comfort in mind, or being able to walk around and sit and move?
No. I mean, if you look at one of those armors, they're highly detailed, so I kind of toned it down to look a little more cleaner. You can't really sit when you have the leg pieces on, because it has, like, that butt area. And, I mean, I could do quite a bit more, but Arturo couldn't sit down at all. He was just standing there. I was like, you're not tired? He's like, well, I can't sit down. Usually when... when I make things, I try to consider comfort, but in the end, it never wins.
Was it like that with your Claymore costumes as well, or was it a little bit more feasible because you had more fabric?
The Claymores are more painful to wear.
Really?
Yes, because of the steel bone corset, and the skirt's attached to the corset. So it's kind of very... stressful on the torso, just all that weight and pressure. So, you want to say hi?
No.
Then can you not? This is my old Sakata staff, which he has destroyed. See, it's only. And he likes to play with it, but can you not hit me with it, please?
I broke it.
I know you broke it.
We'll make a new one.
We'll make a new one. Yes,
he's learning the plight of cosplay early. When you break it, you make another one. I have to say, I really, really like your Alone sword.
Oh.
That's probably my favorite prop of any of them. Not just because it glows, because I know your Mass Effect stuff also glows. But how do you end up designing these different props and costumes that you have? What sort of process do you go through, since I'm pretty sure there's not a commercial pattern out there for these things?
For the swords, we try to research, like, what dimension swords are technically supposed to be. And so we gather all of this, and then we kind of scale it to me how, like, in theory, this is how it should look. And then we kind of make them, and I'm like, I don't like it. Change that. So that's kind of what we do. We at first try to keep them authentic, or as authentic looking as possible, but then realistically that doesn't work. It really depends on how good it looks with you. So that's kind of how that we try to do that. And then, of course, taking into consideration we're working with wood instead of steel, just because it's so much easier to carry out at conventions, and you don't have to hear, oh, it's life steel, no, we can't have it, period. Mm-hmm. So, right. And it's harder to work with.
That's true.
So, we make, Arturo's the one who made most of the Alone sword. I just did the sanding.
That's a lot of work, too.
And, of course, I'm the one who, a lot of the times I'm the one who designs them. I'm like, I want to like this, because he wanted to make Hades sword, because Hades sword is different from Milan sword. The wings of the hilt are slightly different. And so he comes in, and then I come into the shop, and I see it. I was like, what is that? And he's like, Milan sword. I was like, no, that's Hades sword. he looks at me, he's like, but we're going to have to carve that out. And I was like, And that's how things get made. The two of us fighting, or like he just started the Predator pistol from Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. And I come into the shop and I take a look at it. I was like, I can't put my hand around this. He's like, well, that's the size it's supposed to be. I was like, but I can't hold it. You know, what good is it if I can't hold it? So that's kind of what that process is. You kind of try something, see if it works for you, and then we change it, and then it still doesn't work, and we change it again. And same for drafting patterns. Like, Alone's outfit, those sleeves, I wasted about 10 yards of fabric trying to make the sleeves look right.
Wow.
And, yeah, I was like, God, no, it still looks bad, and toss it out and try again. Because I had no idea how to make big flowing sleeves like that. I don't think it's even possible, as big and flowing as his sleeves are, but I tried.
And you did very well.
You did.
So,
I love that costume. It's huge, but so comfortable. No heels and no corset. It's just amazing.
And we're back.
Yay.
Hopefully you guys found those tutorials enjoyable and educational, because we are, after all, an educational podcast.
It's like, the more you know, and believe, and reading Rainbow, and oh man.
That was a great show, incidentally.
Reading Rainbow was awesome.
Speaking of shows, tangent and segue, there is another cosplay podcast that is on, I believe, the Nerd Reactor Network.
Yeah, Nerd Reactor.
And we will link to it, of course, in our show notes, because we like to promote fellow cosplayers and fellow podcasters. They've been going at it for quite a bit longer than we have, at any rate. But this is a weekly audio podcast of various cosplayers from Nerd Reactor, and basically they talk about everything cosplay. They don't quite do the same thing we do, in that we do a lot of tutorials and we show you things on video. But it's still definitely worth a listen. So I highly encourage you to head over to their website, linked here, and give them a listen. So, hooray for fellow podcasters and fellow cosplayers.
Yep.
And fellow cosplay podcasters.
There you go. And everyone in between.
Yes. And also, speaking of fellow cosplayers, we had a listener write in. And I would like to say a very big thank you to Lane for writing in, as I am about to embark on a journey learning how to cast resin, among other things. And he gave me a lot of very informative tips and advice. And hopefully here, within the next couple of paychecks, once I get all my priorities taken care of, then I can go and patronize Hobby Lobby, and I can get some casting materials and start to practice. Because Texas heat is good for pretty much one thing, and that is resin casting.
Except for my projects this past week, which I have to recast everything again.
And hopefully you will not have purchased the one thing I need to buy by the time I go in there.
I make zero promises, because I have to go and get more silicone molds and make new molds for myself, so...
They're always out of the mold I'm looking for, because this one...
Wait.
This one buys it!
In my defense, I didn't know Hobby Lobby had all these really cool things until I went there, and I was like, oh, they've expanded this section. Oh my goodness, They have resin stuff. I need this.
Also, on a side note, Hobby Lobby's not paying us to say this.
No.
They do not sponsor the show in any way.
But they would like to give us gift cards. I am not opposed to this.
We just like to shop there, because they have good coupons and a very wide variety of stuff.
When their paints go on sale, I go nuts.
I did that with jewelry back in the day.
Yep.
But at any rate, yes, thank you to Lane for writing in and for the advice on the resin casting. I shall treasure it and I shall use it well in my studies and experiments.
Yep.
Hopefully, you will probably see the results of my experiments on the show at some point within the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
We'll find out.
It will be a learning experience either way.
And to say, while you're making everything, I'll be showing everyone, hey, here's how you make the mold for it. Okay, now you stick the resin.
It puts the resin in its mold.
Or else it gets the hose again.
Speaking of making things, how about some cost projects? Okay. And cost progress.
Cost progress.
I'm riding my Segway right along here.
Yeah, we're just strolling on the Segway all the way down the street, man.
All right, well, you can go first, because I don't have very much.
I was going to say, yeah, I've got 3 costumes I'm trying to get done. Well, no, technically 4, and I'm trying to get done in time for A-Fest. One of them is not for me. It's for my significant other, who's cosplaying with me for the very first time.
And as of the date of this podcast, A-Fest is about 3 months away.
Roughly.
A little bit less than that,
yeah. But yeah, so this weekend I've been working on his costume, Zelgadus from Slayers, and it's almost done. I hate men. It's not
fair.
Don't
let me hear you say that.
It's not fair. They don't have, like, boobs and hips and butts that I gotta worry about. I don't have to make darts. I don't have to suck anything in. It's just a tunic and a pair of pants and then a cape. I'm done! It's taking me longer to make his freaking resin amulet that sits on his cape than anything else. And all I have to do left is just get his wig and style it, and I'm done. It's not fair. It's probably going to take me a month to do Amelia. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been sewing his stuff and getting mad at him because I'm not a man.
Well, there you have it, listeners.
It's not fair.
I have not been quite so productive or so man-hating. I have been program-hating instead, because I have been learning how to use, in a very slow and painful manner, Blender, which is a 3D modeling program, and Pepakura, which is a 3 and 2D modeling program that basically takes a 3D model and unfolds it, like those little tests you had to take in middle school where they gave you the folded box and said, how will this look unfolded? Because I am working on a single costume at the moment. I'm not even really working on it, unless you count pattern making. And this is for the Aquarius cloth from Saint Seiya. And I'm using these programs to help me make the pattern pieces for them, in hopes that it will help me make a more accurate project.
Mm-hmm.
And it has taken me hours and hours of banging my head against it and YouTube and Google, trying to find tutorials and search for the correct terms to find those tutorials, because just changing one word in your search string changes all the results that come out, so you may or may not even find the tutorial you're looking for because you search for the wrong or right thing.
Exactly.
And even then, it's not like there's a giant user manual of how to do everything.
Especially this particular stuff that you're getting into. I mean, that's pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty
this is something.
Up there.
This is something that not all cosplayers will do.
You're right.
In their lives. But this is a skill I've wanted to pick up for a while. And it does help, particularly when you're making props, because you can actually make patterns from scratch for swords and guns and things like that. There are tutorials on those, incidentally. But that aside, I've also been working on making what are called blocks or slopers, which are generic patterns that you can use to make any sort of clothing.
I'm gathering into pattern making for
generic tops, generic bottoms. Yeah, I'm doing from scratch using a whole bunch of math type things now. But I am using a workbook for it, so at least I'm not doing it with no knowledge of what I'm doing.
Right.
Just almost no knowledge of what I'm doing. No, I do understand the instructions and what I'm doing. It just takes a lot of time to properly make these.
Exactly.
But when I'm done, I will be able to make cosplays that custom fit me personally and not just some commercial pattern that doesn't account for the fact that I have a short torso and am well endowed.
Exactly.
So
it's painful at first, like I kept telling her, but when you get it done and it makes sense, it becomes, the possibilities are endless. It's become so much easier. It's just that initial 5.5 months of just pain and, oh my God, I can't get this to fit right. Once you get it down, it's cool.
Yeah, between those and, this is kind of related to cosplay, but I've more or less started a new career path as well that requires me to undertake a lot of study. Because I'm trying to get into IT security. And for those who don't know, that is a very expansive and extensive field. So between banging my head against Blender and Pepakura, making time-consuming slopers, mm-hmm. and studying textbooks that are literally this thick to get IT security credentials, I have, like, no time. So I'm not bringing anything new to Anime Fest. But at least, you know, if I end up getting this IT job, then I will have more money for cosplay. So it is related to cosplay. I will have more money with a proper budget, and I can actually assemble a workshop. I am so jealous of Marika's workshop.
I know, right? I'm telling you, I want a workshop, man.
Stop. There's a couple of people. Fiverion, also on DeviantArt.
Really?
Has a massive workshop.
Really? Oh. I want to see it. Grabby, we want.
I mean, there is a local electronics group in Dallas.
Yes.
That has a workshop that you can rent out that you basically pay membership fees for.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay them like $50 a month. And you can go to their workshop at any time when they're open. And they have a bunch of really awesome tools that you can use. You know, anything from 3D laser printers to soldering stations.
Ooh.
They have some really cool stuff. And your membership fees cover this.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and visit them. And I'm sorely tempted, except that most of their machinery isn't quite what I need at this point. I need something closer to a cosplayer's workshop than, you know, an engineer's workshop.
Workshop, right.
Not that there's nothing wrong with an engineer's workshop. It just doesn't have the tools I need.
Right.
At this point.
We're pretty specific on what we need.
Plus, they work with a lot of materials like aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
Not con-friendly.
Can't really use it.
Yeah. So, you know, while those things are nice, it's just not something I can do. So that has pretty much been my cost projects. Odd as they have been.
We're doing stuff.
Well, I mean, we both promised ourselves over the summer that we'd try and learn new techniques and
exactly, and
upgrade our cosplay ability, so that's what we're doing.
We're definitely doing that. I'm going to be doing, actually, your staff tutorial is something that I will be reviewing immensely because I'm making a staff that I want to have it glow. And
oh,
I'll
which that great stuff. A listener actually asked us for that tutorial.
Cool. Sweet.
I apologize if I am butchering this. I really do. But Xiang Lei on DeviantArt asked me for the tutorial.
Oh,
so
cool.
I bequeath unto you a tutorial.
Sweet.
So if listeners, if you in the audience have any tutorial requests and we are capable of doing them ourselves or we can find somebody who is capable of doing it,
mm-hmm.
ask. And we will do our best to either make it ourselves or find someone who can.
Yep.
Assuming it isn't already out there on YouTube. But, you know, there's always more than one way to do something. So just because there's a tutorial out on YouTube doesn't mean that's the only way of doing it.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do the duct tape dummy head ones, because I had a couple people message me personally and saying, hey, I saw you have this head of yours with the silver stuff on it. How do you do that? Is that really helpful? I'm like, yeah, I'll show you how to do that, because my method's different from the ones I've seen on YouTube. So...
And I will be reviewing that tutorial as well.
Because it comes in handy.
Well, it's not necessarily just for making a wig head, but you can use it as a sort of flat pattern base if you need to make something that goes over your head.
Exactly, and that's part of the reason.
Just what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, it's one of the things I said. It's like, here's how you do it. You make it. You need to do a full helmet or you need to do a full mask. This comes in handy too. Yep.
Yeah, because I am going to be redoing my Athena God Cloth at some point, and it requires a Roman-style helm.
Yep.
It's really hard, because there are not exactly commercial patterns for your head, and it's really hard to draft a pattern for your head.
Yep.
So sometimes making a duct tape dummy is the only way you can do it. But I've had a lot of help from one of my fellow cosplayers on DeviantArt, for which I say thank you, thank you, thank you. And hopefully I will have some patterns to at least help me out.
Exactly.
Because that's a really nice thing about the cosplay community. We help each other out when we need it.
Exactly.
And you can always ask somebody for help. Worst they're going to tell you is no.
95% of the time they're going to say yes.
Well, I would say 90% of the time. It depends on what you ask too.
Yeah.
Because I know some people will say, sorry, I don't take commissions, so don't ask them for commissions. 0% of the time they will say yes. But if you ask them, like, hey, how did you make this? Or, hey, do you still have your pattern pieces? Can you scan them for me? Or, hey, can you tell me where you bought this fabric?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say, yeah, 90-95% of the time they'll tell you yes.
Oh, yeah. They're usually pretty helpful. I mean, they'll be honest and say, hey, I can't really help you out on this, or if you just Google this term here, it'll show you exactly the tutorial I used or whatever.
Also, last two things before we go ahead and end the show.
Yep.
The first is a roundtable reminder. We will be having our next roundtable, which is Sunday, July 8th at 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time. And it will be on criticism in cosplay, and this is any kind of criticism. We're taking a pretty broad topic this time. But if you would like to participate, feel free to email us, tweet us, write on our Facebook wall, message us on DeviantArt, any number of ways to contact us. And our email address is podcast@cospod.org. If you would like to participate, we can take up to 8 people. This Skype only supports 10 people in a teleconference. Yeah. But yes, if you would like to participate, feel free. Don't be intimidated by 1, being on the internet, 2, being on a podcast, or 3, being in front of us, because we're just 2 random people.
We're pretty normal. We're just a little crazy.
Normal? What?
Normal in the sense of most cosplayers are pretty crazy. We're pretty normal in comparison.
Also, lastly, I have an odd request for listeners.
Uh-oh.
And I posted about this on DA recently. I didn't get any responses, but that's okay. But I am looking for more conventions to add to my schedule.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Preferably something local that I can drive to within a day. Because flying presents all sorts of other problems, especially with packing cosplay. So I would rather just as soon drive there. I have no problem with driving.
I can attest to the flying part. That one's always a tricky one.
Well, Marika also attested to the problems with getting props through airlines. But if you have any experience with any cons that are local to Dallas, Texas, local as in within a day's drive, please let us know so that I can go have a look at these conventions and possibly add them to my schedule, and Cospod will be there. So that is my request. I have a couple on my list that I'm looking at, so long as they don't interfere with A-Con, Anime Fest, and All-Con, because those are my home cons.
Mm-hmm.
So any other cons that are within a day's drive, yes, feel free to write me and tell me how awesome they are. Doesn't have to be limited to anime either.
Oh, no. That's,
I mean, it can be sci-fi, it can be fantasy, it can be an all-around nerd convention like All-Con. Any and all of the above is fine. Family friendly, yes.
Please.
Yes, because we are a family friendly podcast. So feel free to write into us again, podcast@cospod.org, or any of the other myriad ways of contacting us, which we will, of course, put up on the screen post podcast.
Yes. And there's one more shout out that I almost completely forgot about, and I would feel horrible if I forgot. Cosplay in America has been awesome to the two of us this past week. And I cannot thank them so much. I mean, they've been, like, awesome.
For those who don't know, we were featured as a podcast on the homepage of Cosplay in America, which is a magazine dedicated to Cosplay in America. And we were featured for our coverage of Project A-Con, which is a lot of video. But the editor said some very nice things about us, yes. About me in particular. It made me do a cubicle dance at work when I saw it, because this went up on, what is the 21st, was Thursday. So yeah, I did a happy cubicle dance. I was so astonished because I never anticipated having something like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Being internet famous is a very odd thing.
Isn't it?
To be quite honest, being famous of any kind is a very odd feeling. Having random people run up to me at cons and tell me they know who I am is also an odd feeling. Don't get me wrong, it's a great feeling. It's just still a very odd feeling that I'm not used to. But at any rate, huge thank you to Cosplay in America for featuring us, for linking to our vids, for embedding our vids, and for writing such really nice things about us.
I know we've gotten a couple more hits on our Facebook page because of it, and people have been messaging me a lot more, so that's been really cool, and it's good to hear the feedback, but that's awesome.
Yes.
Can't thank them enough.
We are really happy when listeners write in, actually.
Yes.
It really does make our day whenever
Even
we...
You tell us that our show sucks, that's fine. Just tell us how you want
to... not.
Well, if you give us feedback about how to improve, we'll take
yes.
it.
Yes, that is different.
I should clarify, sorry.
Constructive feedback is fine. Please don't just write in and tell us the show sucks. Without telling us how we can make it not suck.
Sorry, I should have been more specific.
But with that, we're out of here. See you next episode.
Bye, guys.